Support for podcasts of Medical Monday comes from Vassar Brothers Medical Center, the only hospital between Yonkers and Canada offering Makoplasty, the newest robotic surgical system for hip replacement and partial knee resurfacing. health-quest.org/VBMCortho.
Hello, once again, and welcome back to the Vox Pop, WMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Alan Chartok. In the studio this afternoon to discuss podiatry and its related surgeries is Dr. Doug Tooman. He's become something of a star here at WAMC when it comes to your feet. Dr. Tooman has been practicing podiatry in the Kingston area for more than 30 years. He doesn't look it, by the way. He's a graduate of the Illinois College of Podiatric Medicine and a diplomate of the American Board of Podiatric Surgeons. He's also board certified in foot surgery and a fellow of the American College of Foot and Ankle Surgeons. He's also an avid marathon runner. Dr. Tooman, thanks again, and thanks for coming back to the Vox Pop. To participate in today's discussion, call 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Okay, so there's nobody on the phone, so I'll start you. Okay, ready? Athlete's foot, discuss.
Well, first, let me just wish you an on there. Mazel tov, congratulations on your brand new arrival, Noah.
Well, thank you.
I've never seen you look happier.
No, we're walking on cloud nine. What a great thing to have a grandchild. And then you don't have to do the work and you can just
go home.
Yeah, right.
Maybe you'll change a diaper. Who knows? So, yeah, this is a time of the year where people get all kinds of conditions. It gets a little warmer, maybe. It doesn't seem like it out there. But athlete's foot is a fungal condition of the feet. And because we are always in dark shoes, temperatures are warmer. Believe it or not, we have 250,000 sweat glands on each foot.
You Whoa. Wouldn't know it. 250,000?
Sweat glands on each foot. And
That's
the average person, you wouldn't believe this, but the word is we sweat about 1 pint per day of sweat. So when you put all that together, it's easy to attract fungus that can breed in a dark, moist area, and they get either into the toes or the nails and on the bottom of the foot on the skin, and it can create itching or just a little bit of dry, scaly skin, and that's what athlete's foot is.
Well, how do you get rid of it?
You get rid of it with a couple of things, antifungal agents. And,
But the bottle, the thing always says use for 2 weeks or something. I use it one time and it goes away.
You have an easy case.
I see.
You're easy.
Yeah.
But some of the people have really, when they come to our office, really difficult dermatological conditions. So it does take a sometimes a prescription topical medicine along with hygiene, you know, just keeping your socks dry. Wearing nylons is not great either for women or men if it's all nylon, because that's going to allow the moisture. Change your shoes periodically and just keep your feet.
Well, I only have one pair of shoes.
Well, at least change them when you get home.
Yeah.
Don't wear them to bed.
Yeah. So that's so interesting. Okay. The phones are beginning to ring, so I want to ask you before we get into the good people, one more thing. Poison ivy.
Poison ivy.
Poison ivy. Now, there are a lot of myths about poison ivy. You know, the Boy Scout who says, I would wipe myself here or there with the poison ivy. Ah, so what's the deal? Why does poison ivy on Fire Island, where I grew up, look like gigantic red leaves and looks like it's growing like the beanstalk to the sky? And here they show me poison ivy, and it's just little tiny stuff.
Right.
There's a lot of different versions, aren't there?
There are, you know, and thankfully we don't see it that much in the feet, but usually it's because they're in the gardens and they're weeding, and all of a sudden they get it, and usually it spreads from your hand to your leg or this, and then it spreads all over, and sometimes it's so serious you need a steroid to calm it down.
Exactly.
A lot of people are very allergic to it.
Yeah, and allergic to steroids, too.
Stay out of the garden.
Yeah, stay out. Well, there are a lot of reasons to stay out of the garden. The ticks are good reasons.
Ticks and all
this. Do ticks like feet?
Ticks like feet a lot. As a matter of fact, I've pulled a number off of people's feet and didn't even know they were there.
Oh, my God.
You know.
Okay, let's get some of these people going. We'll go to Karen in the Berkshires. Okay. Hiya, Karen.
Hello.
Hi, Karen.
This is Karen, and I dropped a big ceramic bowl on my toe between the knuckle and the nail about a year ago, and it hurt like heck. And but, I mean, what are you going to do about a toe that has something dropped on it? You just let it heal up, which I did. But the nail seems to have spread somewhat, and so now it feels like maybe, I don't know, like something is jabbing in the corner of my toe.
Okay.
Here we go. Here we go, Karen.
So, Karen, let me ask you a question here. You dropped it on your toe, and then right now the toe doesn't hurt, but you have a problem with the toenail. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes. Okay. It's kind of jabs in the corner of my, where the nail and the skin.
Right. Well, a lot of people drop things. You open the freezer and you drop, frozen spaghetti sauce, ice cubes, all that stuff.
Pickles.
So it's not on pickles, everything on their toe. And what happens is you damage the nail root. It's called the matrix. And you've now damaged the nail, how it's growing. And that is a direct result from the direct trauma on the toenail. So now it's growing a little awkwardly, which is hard to fix. So, again, if it's painful, then you may want to get in to see a podiatrist to see if he can ease the problem, which could be an ingrowing toenail or a little bit of a fungus that's getting into the toenail or an awkward nail growth pattern. If it's not painful, then you can just live with it, knowing that you sound young, if you don't mind a nail that's not perfect, or you can go and get it looked at to see if it can be made better. But once
it's not unsightly, and it only will be painful depending on the shoe. Some of us ladies have these wickedly pointed shoes. Yes.
Well, don't wear them. Or as the old saying goes, don't itch.
The Manolo Blahniks, put them, leave them in a closet, the Manolos. Get it looked at if you like, and otherwise you can live with it and just be careful with it. And it's a matter
of... and by the way, the ceramic bowl did not break. So.
Only the toe.
Only the toe, exactly.
Only the toe.
You broke your
Karen,
toe.
Karen, thank you. Thanks for the call.
You're welcome. Yeah. You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Let's go to Marie in Liberty. Marie, you're on.
Yes, good afternoon. I am 73 years old, and I have a toenail condition, which I started having in my 50s. And I have a question. Two questions, very simple questions. First of all, do fungal toenails tend to be hereditary?
Marie, they actually do.
I thought so.
Yeah, you can get them for other reasons, like injury, trauma, or what have you. Right. But we see a lot of people, mom has it or grandma has it, and you end up with it.
Well, what is it?
Oh, okay.
And
all right.
Is there a second part of your question I think
yes,
about?
Yeah. Now, my other question is, does Vicks Vapor Rub Vaseline help if you apply it every morning and evening on your nails?
Good question. So let me just answer both questions, Alan's and yours. What is a fungus toenail? A fungus is it's like athlete's foot on the skin, but it's in the toenail.
Right.
It changes the shape and color of the nail, where it gets yellow, gray, black, dark, and the nail gets thicker in many cases as well. It's unsightly. It can become painful. And in some cases, like diabetics, it can be a damaging, dangerous thing. But in general, your question, Marie, does Vicks VapoRub work? Well, it's one of the wives' tales home remedies that can offer some results. Maybe about 10% of the people that have fungus toenails can use something like that, or oil of oregano. That's another home remedy. The reason it might work is because it has an ingredient in there called thymol. And thymol has been shown to be an antifungal agent. And also it has some camphor, and I believe one other agent that might have some benefits. But then again, it has a 90% failure rate. But if you want to try something on your own, that's certainly as acceptable as anything else.
Okay. You answered my question. Now you're giving me an idea of the statistics on this. Because a man in my library is in his 40s, and he claims that his nails started getting better in about 2 weeks using this, and I rather doubted that. Maybe it's true. I don't know.
Here's the story with fungus. There's many different kinds, and if it's a thin nail with just a little white on it, that will clear up very quickly. If it's a thick, darkened nail, that's not so easy to cure.
That's a great thing. I'm glad you brought it up, Doug. When you see your nail growing and you see just a little white spot under the nail and it grows out, what is that?
It's called superficial white onychomycosis. That's the medical term.
Idiopathic.
It's a form of fungus that gets onto the nail, but it's an easy one to treat compared to some of the other ones.
How do you treat it?
Well, that can be treated with something like
Vicks VapoRub
or an antifungal agent. They sell them in the stores. And,
but can't you just let it go? What happens with mine is they grow right out.
The challenge with sometimes is it can spread.
Oh, boy.
So if it spreads, then you end up with a bigger mass of white stuff. So
white stuff
is good to treat them. And by the way, just because we're in this season, for all the ladies out there, nail polish is a toxin. It's filled with toxins. It's like paint. It has in there formaldehyde, toluene, and other preservatives that actually, when you put it onto a nail, it's occlusive and it can breed fungus. So we often see women who go for pedicures, they come out 3 or 4 weeks later, take the nail polish off, and they have white or yellow nail changes.
Ooh.
And that is a result of the pedicures and the nail polish.
The answer is?
And non-toxic nail polish, now available with antifungal ingredients, none of those bad stuff.
Wow, somebody's getting rich.
Good idea, and it works.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Marie,
absolutely.
Thanks for the call.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
That leaves, believe it or not, one free phone. You know, when Jessica Marshall got you, she always says, this guy, every phone rings every moment. It's true. Okay, so let's go to Karen in Glenville. Okay, Karen, you're on.
However, it's Kernan, not Karen.
Oh, I'm so
sorry. I thought it was
sorry.
Kevin.
That's okay. No. We have met upon occasions, and I will give you congratulations on your grandchild.
Oh, well, thank you.
I have one also.
Well, that's good.
Mine's 27 years old.
Wow. Are you ready to pay? Did you pay for college?
No, I'm still paying college for my children.
I thought you were going to say it. I'm still paying college for myself.
Well, yeah, you know, when you get old, you get old. Now I have a question.
Yeah.
In four parts. What are hammer toes? What causes them? What can one do about them?
Okay. So, Karen, let me give you the skinny, the 1, 2, 3 skinny. Your hammer toes are often hereditary, and the hammer toe is a toe that instead of staying straight starts to buckle. It starts to get a little bit curled, and that usually comes about because of hereditary reasons where the tendons are shortened and they tighten and they pull the toe. So the tendon on the bottom is stronger than the tendon on top. That's a lot of information for you, Karen. But anyway, over time, between shoes and these types of biomechanical factors, the toe eventually buckles, and then it becomes a painful toe where the toe is rubbing on top of the shoe because it's no longer straight. If you took your finger and put it out straight, then you bent it and you have that knuckle sticking up, that's exactly what a hammer toe is.
Interesting.
Yep. And what we do is we fix hammer toes if necessary, if they're painful, only if they're painful in most cases. And we have wonderful new procedures that will straighten the toe. We have beautiful little tiny implants that go between the two knuckles and puts them together.
Whoa.
Straight so they stay straight. Or tried and true procedures done for years, some in office, some at the hospital outpatient. But they are corrective. They are permanently straightened, and it gets rid of a painful hammer toe.
You got it all, man. We got to take a break. Thanks a lot.
Oh.
Okay, so that leaves two free phones, number 2 and number 3, if you really want to know which ones they are. And we are expecting to hear from you. We have to take a short break, but Helena and Lynn and Virginia, stay right there.
Support comes from Premier Medical Group, gastroenterology, urology, internal medicine, endocrinology, geriatrics, nephrology, and pulmonology, with offices throughout the Hudson Valley. PremierMedicalHV.com. Berkshire artist Kenton Neely showing her abstract works now through April 30th at the Dorset Village Library, Dorset, Vermont. DorsetLibrary.org. New York Oncology Hematology sponsoring Spring to Life, a symposium on blood cancers for healthcare professionals, patients, survivors, and families, this Saturday at the Desmond Hotel, NewYorkOncology.com. And Troy Waterfront Farmers Market, Troy, New York, featuring local producer-only foods and products every Saturday from 9 to 2 in downtown Troy, TroyMarket.org.
Thank you, Zachary. We're back. Let's go to Helena in Bolton Landing. Okay, Helena, you're on.
Hi. Hi, doctors. Hi, Alan. Congratulations.
Hi. Well, thank you.
Doctor, my husband has neuropathies in both legs and feet, some difficulty walking and weakness. The last few weeks, one foot cramps up at night right in the arch and the top of the arch. About 2 hours after he goes to sleep, and then it flares up with pain and cramping all night. So I'm wondering if there's anything we can do about that.
That's a good question. How old is your husband, if you don't mind me asking?
71.
Okay, and what is his neuropathy from, Helena?
Well, they said pre-diabetic. He also has a lot of osteoarthritis in the low back, bad discs, and so forth.
Okay, so he's not a bad diabetic at this point.
No.
Okay, so something related to his back has caused his neuropathy.
Yes.
Okay, well, first, the cramping in the arches and feet at nighttime, that can be very painful and hard to cure, but when he gets that, he should put his feet on the floor and try to stand up to get rid of the spasming and cramping. Of course, you want to make sure, and I can't do this over the telephone, that this is not a circulation issue. Probably is not. But you never know for sure. It's probably related
to... Yeah, the circulation in his feet is not great.
Right.
You know.
Just want to make sure the pulses are there and this is not a circulation thing. Usually the way you tell that, if he's not getting cramping when he walks, it's probably not circulation.
Mm-hmm.
It
right.
was just at
okay,
bedtime.
Then. Mm-hmm.
And then, again, for these cramping sensations, there's a lot of things you can try, and I can't tell you which one's going to work best for him. But make sure he's hydrated. Make sure that, you know, certainly if he's on a diuretic, that can dehydrate you. So make sure he has enough water in his system, because that can make for muscle spasms and cramping at
now,
night.
Now, would massage, I'm a massage therapist, if I massaged his feet, you know, I have been trying some of that.
I think Alan's wondering, if you'd massage his feet.
No, on the contrary, I don't like anybody touching my feet. But Roselle, on the other hand, the way to her heart is to massage her feet.
Oh, people love their feet massage. Yeah, that could only help. It really it releases the muscles and the tension that might be stored in there. And of course, I always recommend make sure he has enough nutrients, whether it's calcium, vitamin D, magnesium. Mm-hmm. That might be a good thing to do. Epsom salt soaks is a good way to get magnesium into the system. And then you just have to just, you know, see what works. And it, sometimes
it
it's very transient.
He has a very high arch. Would it help to put an additional arch in his shoe?
Yeah, it probably would, Helena.
Okay.
Because you're not straining the muscles as much during the day, so they might not bother you as much at night.
Okay.
Helena,
well,
thank you for the call. Appreciate it.
So much.
Yeah.
Bye.
Okay. That leaves one free phone, and I just wanted to ask you while we're on the way, in my favorite film, Mr. Roberts, Ensign Pulver compliments Roberts because he's a potential hero. He said, it doesn't take much to be a hero. He says, let me show you. And he does that thing where the docs hit the back of your heel.
Reflexes.
Reflex.
Right.
And usually you get a jump. But in his case and in mine, you don't get a jump.
Nothing.
Nothing.
There's nothing there.
Yeah, and you know what he said?
What?
Don't go in a
B-29.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Let's go to Lynn in Shelburne Falls. Okay, Lynn, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Alan, I just want to say that I do so much calling. You might know me by now. But Of course you do. Anyway, so I called about the fact that sometimes I do get athlete's foot, the itchy kind on my skin, on the bottom of my toes. And when I went to my doctor, I asked, should I throw my sneakers out? She suggested yes.
Okay. So let me make a suggestion to you. Certainly, a lot of bacteria, fungus can harbor inside of a shoe. Again, with the all the sweat glands and the sweating and the socks and the darkness, we can treat our feet, but we tend to neglect our shoes.
Yeah.
So, Lynn, I do think if you've worn the shoes for a while, you might want to throw them out. But let me give you one other suggestion, something you may be able to find online. We actually, when we treat people's fungus toenails, we make a suggestion that we also monitor and treat their shoes. So there's something out there now called a Steri shoe, which is an ultraviolet light therapy. At the end of the day, you place this in your shoe, you plug it into the wall, and it kills 99.9% of all bacteria and fungus.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's about $119, something like that.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Well, do you know
if I was getting food stamps at the end of the month, I'd be...
Yeah, no, no, if you're doing that. But it would save your shoes, of course, and shoes are not cheap either.
No.
So
I was
going to
say, you know, you got to go in these places, $300.
But more importantly, you can...
Can I soak them in gin or something?
You can do that, too. But that's probably expensive also.
Gin's also expensive. Hey, Lynn, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Keep calling. Thanks.
Bye-bye now.
Okay. Let's go to Virginia in Canaan. They all went down to Canaan, New York.
Hello.
Hi, Virginia.
Hi, Alan. Hi, doctor. I can't believe it, but the woman whose husband has neuropathy has some of the same symptoms as I do. And but I've been diagnosed with something called skewed foot.
Mm-hmm.
And I have an appointment with an orthopedist foot specialist, but I'm afraid he's going to want to operate. And the foot is really, it's really out of order. It's just protruding underneath my right ankle.
Right.
And I do get those pains.
Right. Well, your pains are different than neuropathy pains, Virginia. Just don't confuse the two.
Really?
Neuropathy is different than painful feet. So he just had some extra cramping she talked about. So for your foot, you sound like you have a severe foot deformity.
That's right, doctor.
And the foot deformity can be for many reasons. You might have lost the tendon called the posterior tibial tendon on the inside of your foot, so your whole foot collapsed. It might be because of hereditary predisposition injury. But whatever it is very
difficult.
Yeah, it's very difficult to walk on a foot that's extremely deformed with a skewed foot or a foot that is collapsed. Basically, it's a whole collapsed arch.
What's my chances? I have pain-killing topical medication that comes from Colorado.
Yep.
And I have to order it.
Yep.
It's a fusion.
Yep.
But I just don't want to have a painkiller. I want to be able to walk again. I was a jogger, and I'm very active.
Right.
I don't sit down a lot.
Right. Well, let me give you some suggestions. It sounds like are you 80? Is that correct?
That's right.
Okay. Well, you know, certainly you have a lot of good years ahead of you. So, you know, I would see what the doctor says about what's involved with fixing your foot. We do a lot of major reconstructive foot surgery, and for someone that's active and wants to work, it could be a wonderful foot saver, lifesaver for you. However, it is a you know, a lot of work and a lot of healing time. The other option is that there are braces that can be made called AFOs, ankle foot orthoses, and those braces can help you walk better, maybe not perfectly, but they are pretty good. So between a surgical reconstruction or an AFO, that's probably, and a brace, that's probably your options. The pain formulation compounding stuff will help on a daily basis, but it's not a cure, but it's a help.
Well, thank you. I just hope, I certainly don't want a brace. I want to be able to, I want to go back the way I was when I was
29.
Me too.
Alan. Well, thanks very much for both of you. And if I can, if my orthopedist foot specialist gives me some ideas, somebody said it was a nerve. One doctor said, you should go to a neurologist. That's what I thought when this woman talked about neuropathy.
No, you have a foot deformity. You need to go where you're going and see what happens, okay?
Yeah. All right, thank you so much.
Thanks, Virginia.
So long, Virginia.
Goodbye, everybody.
Just listening to Billy Joel, and I heard that song.
Yeah, Virginia. or Virginia. Yes, Virginia, there is a neuropathy.
Yeah. Yes, there is.
So, right. So I meant to tell you all, Ray Graff would look down on me for not having done this, that you can always email us at roundtable@wamc.org, and we'll take your questions that way, whatever way. But right now there is one free phone, 1-800-348-2551. Okay, Doug in Colony. You're on, Doug.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, Doug.
Okay. My question is about the treatment of Morton's neuroma.
Uh-huh.
I've had this Morton's neuroma for many years. A couple years ago, I got a series of alcohol injections, and that didn't do any good.
Mm-hmm.
Then I had a hero surgery on this Morton's neuroma last year, and that didn't do any good. And so the possibility of another kind of surgical intervention, which will free up the nerve, is there. And I want to know about your opinion about that.
Okay, let's just go back, because Alan's going to ask me what's a Morton's neuroma. So
yeah,
for everybody
I
out there,
who Morton was.
Exactly.
I knew a Morton once.
He was a salt man.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
Anyway, so Doug, good name, by the way. Let's just educate everybody. Morton's neuroma is in the ball of your foot. It's a pinched or enlarged nerve. So if you picture a nerve that looks like a thick piece of dental floss, a neuroma looks like a chewed up piece of dentine inside the foot. Can't see it on x-rays. You can barely see it on an MRI or ultrasound. It's soft tissue. It's nerve that's abnormal. And because it's nerve endings, it can be very painful to walk on.
Mm.
And it's right between either the third and fourth toes in the bottom or the second and third toes in the bottom. And it can let out sharp pains that are going out into your toes or just in the bottom of your foot. So that's what a neuroma is, a bad nerve, an enlarged inflamed nerve. As far as treatments, yeah, you've done a lot of things. You've had the alcohol blocks. I assume you've had some cortisone injections.
Yes.
And now you've had the cryosurgery, which we also do in our office. And if none of those work, you know, Doug, I would just tell you, in my opinion, of course, you can look for the new procedures that are going to free up the nerve. But my guess, if the cryo was done properly and you had all these injections, your nerve is just probably not one of those nerves that are able to regenerate or return to normal, even if you took the pressure off of it. So tried and true for decades and decades and decades is a neurectomy where you just take out the bad nerve. And let me just share with you, because there's not a lot of bad stuff that happens after that. You can think the worst, and you've had a lot of things done over the years for this. But a lot of people think that it controls the muscles. It doesn't. It's only a sensory nerve. It will not have any effect on the way you walk, the movement of your toes. And there's no reason not to have it out and do a neuroma excision, and we call it a neurectomy. Easy to do, and the results are great. Very few complications. So I would just direct you to look into that versus another procedure that may not work for you. This works.
Is that done from the top of the foot?
Most docs that I know do it from the top of the foot, except if it's a revision. And then you can walk on it right away. Even though the nerve is closer to the bottom of the foot, we do the surgery from the top, so you can walk on it right away. Otherwise, you have to be off it for a few weeks while it heals. So easy to get to from the top, easy to get to from the bottom, but easier post-op from the top approach.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah,
okay.
You're welcome.
Bye.
That leaves one free phone, 1-800-348-2551. And off we go to, well, there's no free phones right now, to Tim in Schenectady. All right, Tim in Schenectady, you're on.
Hello, Alan. Hello, doctor. I'm calling. I have I had a bunionectomy about 15 years ago. I'm 48 now. And one of my vices I enjoy is beer. And I have gout. I've just had gout in my, where my bunionectomy was, in that area of my toe. I guess it's pretty common. But they have me on cold cries, 6-milligram tablets, and I wonder if there's something I can do to change my diet or certain beer that I, and I know you're not filling with alcohol, but I really enjoy, you know, not excessively, but, you know, once in a while, a dark beer.
A lot of people have gout, don't they?
Gout is not uncommon. You can see it advertised with the new medicines on TV all the time.
Sure,
so if they're doing that, there's enough people that have it.
Mad King George had it.
Yeah, it's you know, he's called rich man's disease, but not so much anymore with our diets the way they are. But gout is a preponderance of uric acid in the blood. We have a lot of things in the blood, like red blood cells and the like, and oxygen. We also have something called uric acid, and if it gets too high, it will spill out of the blood and attack a joint, these little crystals.
Ooh.
And it becomes red hot and swollen around that joint.
So no asparagus, right? And no shrimp? Or is that an old lady?
Well, everybody's a little bit different. And, you know, beer is one of those things that, you know, certainly alcohol is something that people are told to stay away from. I'm not sure of the purine-free beer or the alcohol that is that's good for you, Tim. I wish I can tell you, although I just got back from Prague, and the European beers are wonderful, especially.
Oh, of course.
The Belgian beers.
I found, you know, going on the internet and looking at the different diets and foods, it's very confusing. And I'm wondering if it's, you know, reducing the sodium that causes the uric acid, or what are the different types of foods that are the basis of what attacks?
It's very tricky over the phone to tell you, because there's different causes of gout. But the easiest thing to do is go online and pull up a gout diet. So you have a few different sources, medical sources. And it will tell you what to avoid, and, you know, probably a lot of them you're not doing anyway, believe it or not.
Well, you could go on and you just put in the Google search.
Exactly.
You could put in beer lover, beer lover's gout.
Exactly. See what comes up.
But
things that are helpful is to make sure you stay hydrated. Cherries, dried cherries or cherry juice is helpful in preventing gout attacks. And then there are medicines. You're on, one of the medications that hopefully lowers your uric acid. But I'm just, you know, has anybody ever...
It's very mild. I only take it at once, so it's not that extreme, but I understand.
Right. Has anybody ever definitively gotten crystals out of your joint to let you know it's not arthritis, that it's gout? I mean, has it been ever definitively diagnosed?
No, it's not to the severity at all, no.
Okay, because it may just be, Tim, another differential diagnosis. It may be that you're 15 years past a bunionectomy and you're a young guy. You might have some arthritis in that joint, and it may not be gout. So you may be able to enjoy all the beer you want. It depends.
That would be terrible.
I got to cut my diet anyway. You know, that's out of my diet. Yeah.
All right.
Thank you very much for your help.
You got it, Tim. Good luck.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay. Thank you very much. All right. Now, we got an email. Congrats, Alan. Every minute. Enjoy every minute. I occasionally get a sharp pain across the top of my foot. Any idea what it could be? Thanks, Mike.
Mike, we can't ask any questions on that.
No, because it's
by email. Sharp pain across top of your foot could be a lot of things, and if it's just on occasion, it's probably no big deal. If it's consistent, it may be a little bit of a nerve irritation from a shoe that's doing it, or it could be a little arthritis on top of your foot. It depends how old you are and what the foot looks like. Really hard to figure out what that is, but make sure your shoes are not too tight. They have enough room in them. room in them and see if that makes it better. And you may want to try some topical things like Topiracin or other topical compound analgesics that you can use that might help you a little bit. Wish I can tell you more, Tim.
Okay, thanks a lot. Oh, we didn't have to, do that. Okay.
We just hung up on you.
Flamini, how can I treat new yellow discoloration fungus about a third of the way down from the top of a large toenail at home?
Okay, that's obviously a fungus getting into the toenail. So you can try some of the home remedies for starters, or you can go to your podiatrist and get something prescription. And there are different prescription topicals. Let me just give you the skinny on toenail fungus. There's three pathways we treat, and this is helpful for everybody. So the first are the topical things, anything you put on top of the medicine. They can be home remedies or doctor remedies. Second are oral remedies, things called Lamisil tablets that you take. Yep. They have some challenges with liver toxicities, but mostly they're pretty safe. And the third is the laser treatment of toenails, and that is usually non-covered by insurance but does a heck of a job. And the most effective are either the pills or the laser. But topicals, you can try, as I talked about earlier, any of the home remedies, or go to a podiatrist and get a better prescription that'll help you.
Speaking of which, how do the people call you? What do they do?
What do they call us?
We have
a website. Thanks for asking. It's our office is called Hudson Valley Foot Associates, and you can reach us online at hvfa.com. That's Hudson Valley Foot Associates, or hvfa.com, and get our information.
Great. We're going to take a short break. So Dan and John and Tom and Ann and Rick, stay there. We'll be right back.
Support comes from St. Mary's Healthcare, Amsterdam, New York, offering minimally invasive spine surgery. Choose stmarys.com. Miss Hall's School, a boarding and day school for girls in grades 9 through 12, now accepting applications for September 2014. What girls have in mind, misshalls.org. Albany Pro Musica, presenting Brahms' Requiem with conductor Sarah Jobin this Saturday at 7:30 p.m. at Troy Savings Bank Music Hall, albanypromusica.org. And Buttermilk Falls Inn, Milton, New York, taking reservations for dinner, spa, weekends, weddings, and events on a 75-acre Hudson River estate with lodgings, a farm-to-table restaurant, and spa. ButtermilkFallsInn.com.
And we're back to the lightning round. Now we're going to go really quickly because Doug Tooman, this is when, we only have till, a little while. So we want to get everybody in.
Okay.
So don't be too ticked off if I, sort of
move us along.
Move you along. Okay, let's go to Dan in Del Mar. Okay, Dan in Del Mar, what you got?
Okay, I have severe foot pain. I've been fitted with several pairs of orthotics.
Mm-hmm.
They only seem to last about 6 months, and then they seem to lose, the ability to make the pain go away. And, and I just seem to go right back into having the foot pain again. So I'm kind of tired of investing in these expensive pairs of orthotics. I'm wondering if there's anything else.
Well, Dan, let me ask you a question here, and I'll be brief. Do you get your orthotics from a good podiatrist?
The first pair was from a podiatrist, and then from then on, I received four more pair from the I'm going to screw up the pronunciation, prosthetist.
Right, okay. Well, let me just say there's a big difference in orthotics, and there are some that really don't wear down anymore. Their materials are made of carbon graphite, and they should last. But if you're only getting 6 months' worth of relief, first of all, good you're getting relief, but there's something obviously with your foot that's, that's troubling, whether it's arthritis or damaged, tendons or whatever, or bad flat feet that are just very painful. So the fact that you can get 6 months of relief, you should be able to get 1 to 2 years of relief. That's too short for an orthotic. I would go back to a podiatrist that really makes great orthotics and will stand behind them and will even 6 months later redo them if they don't work after 6 months. Certainly give everybody at least a 1 year time frame to rebuild them and do whatever we have to do, because the materials are different. Yours are probably made of maybe more of a leather or a softer material that wear down.
So these are all carbon fiber.
They're all carbon fiber. Yeah, it's a combination that you may need to be at the next step, or you need to be at a podiatrist that's going to work with you to keep them in shape for you, because it's unusual. We get patients, you know, 2 years in most cases before they feel any of their pains.
I wore mine for 10 years once.
People do. So it's good to get relief, Dan, but something's going on either with your foot or with your orthotic that it's not the perfect prescription for you.
Hey, Dan, got to go. Thank you very much.
Sorry about the lightning round, Dan. I know it's frustrating.
It is. Let's go to John in Rhinebeck. John, you're on.
Hey, Doc. I just survived 2 courses of plantar fasciitis, once in each foot. I went through about 3/4 of a year to a year with the pain. I'm a chef. I'm on my feet anywhere from 40 to 60 hours a week. I've got this pain in the top of my foot, very similar to that email that you just got. I had an X-ray, an MRI. Nothing's broken. Nothing's fractured. They say there's a little inflammation inside of it. Where do I go from here? Do you have any thoughts, suggestions, time frame it takes for it to heal approximately?
Well, if it's pains on top of your foot, it's not plantar fasciitis. Do you say top or the bottom of your foot?
I survived the plantar fasciitis. Right. It's gone. Right. And now I've got this pain with, like, every step, right? It's in the top.
Okay.
Right where that kind of pointy part is, to the right of it.
Right. You know, John, I'm not sure what it is, but it could be a little nerve irritation on top of your foot. We're close by, right across the bridge. You're in Rhinebeck. We're over one of our offices in Kingston. So if you can, pop on by.
What's the address online?
HVFA.com, Hudson Valley Foot Associates.com.
Okay. Hey, John, we hope you can get some help. Appreciate it.
Thanks, John. Thanks, Alan. We'll see you. Bye-bye.
See you at the office.
Let's go to Tom in Waterville. Tom in Waterville, you're on.
Hi, thank you. Caught the end of the conversation with the folks in Bolton about the cramping. I get cramping on the tops of my toes and in my shin and the tops of my feet. I have PVD, pre-diabetic. Are they close to the same thing?
Yeah,
again. As far as the cause?
Yeah, when you have PVD, that stands for everybody out there, peripheral vascular disease. So it means that the circulatory impairment, and that alone can cause cramping, whether it's, you know, in the front, the back. Often it's in the calves and the arches where you get that pain. Of course, if you're pre-diabetic, you're more susceptible to this. But it sounds like, you know, again, it's just a guess here, Tom, that you have very tight muscles. And I would recommend certainly making sure the vascular disease is not getting worse, but making sure you're stretching, making sure you're keeping yourself limber. Wearing good shoes, making sure you're hydrated, taking some good supplements, magnesium and calcium and vitamin D, and making sure that, you know, you're massaging your foot, whatever you can to do this. But just make sure that the primary reason for the cramps is not the PVD. Because how old are you now, Tom?
57.
Okay, young man. So I doubt it's the PVD that's causing the cramps, but just get it checked that your pulses are there. It's not a circulatory impairment thing, and it could just be something.
It definitely is an impairment.
Okay. You know, it is or is not?
It definitely is.
Okay. So that's something you just have to keep walking and keep your circulation going, and you may have to see a vascular doctor, you know.
I have.
Okay. So
we're getting, they want to do Roto-Rooter. I'm not real up on the idea, but
you may not be able to solve the cramping any other way.
Coming close to the decision where it's, I think it's a little bit better to have some of my life back.
It is, and, you know, if they're recommending it, they're pretty smart guys, especially up here.
And what is Roto-Rooter?
Roto-Rooter, they put these stents in the vessels, and they try to clean them out to get the blood flow going.
Gotcha. So, hey, Tom, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much, doctors.
Good luck.
A great day.
We'll go to Ann in Niskayuna. Ann, you're on.
Hi. Good afternoon. I just have a quick question about the laser treatment.
Mm-hmm.
I've been battling fungus in my toenails for years. My mother had it. The laser treatment, is that a couple of treatments? How long does that procedure take?
Good question, Ann. And in our office, we schedule 2 treatments months apart. And a lot of it is going to be based on how your nails are. If they're really, really thick, you know, like a half inch to an inch high, it's really hard to cure those nails. But laser works great for just about all other nails. So love the procedure. But nothing is 100% with fungus toenails, but that's a good way to treat them. But the treatments aren't long. You know, it's a few minutes per toenail, and you just do as many as necessary. And then we have you do stuff at home in between, and we see you back, and we do it again. And we get a lot of people better. It's very rewarding.
It's pretty new, I think, the FIT laser, isn't it?
Well, different lasers have been around for a long time, but new lasers for fungus toenail are improving, absolutely, over time. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yep.
And all right, thanks for the call. Thanks, appreciate
Sam.
It.
Yep. Bye-bye now.
Okay, and now let's go to Rick in Warwick. Rick of Warwick.
Hi.
Hi, Rick.
Hi. I've been battling a two-year situation with my 8-year-old for an ingrown toenail, and after a couple of trips to the podiatrist where he clipped the offending nail a bit, he finally said a pediatric surgeon's necessary. And the surgeon said, it's not the nail, it's the tissue next to the nail that's being irritated and creating the problem. He had surgery in January, and now, 3 months later, we're back to square one. Which the surgeon recommended warm soaks and Betadine. I'm looking for an end game to this.
Okay, Rick, let me just tell you that it should not be going on and on, no matter what the ingrowing toenail is. They should be cured. They should be cured easily. The skin around the nail, it's called a paronychia, which is this proud flesh that develops around the area. And when we remove an ingrowing toenail, what the important thing to do is not just remove the ingrowing toenail, but do what's called a matrixectomy on the side of the nail, where you cauterize the root, so you make it a teeny bit narrower so it doesn't come back again and again and again. It's very easy to do. So my guess is your podiatrist only did removal of the ingrowing toenail without a matrixectomy or without killing the root. So, you know, that's something that is easily done. Most podiatrists do that. They also remove the proud flesh, and, you know, it will be cured. It is a curable, easily cured problem.
Is that like a dentist and root canal or not?
It's kind of like root canal.
Yeah.
You know, you just
I hope it's cheaper.
Piece of the root. It is cheaper.
The surgeon that did the work on my son's toe removed a lot of the tissue that mm-hmm. was inflamed
right.
and said, listen, this might come back.
Right,
you know?
Because he didn't do the root procedure with it, the matrixectomy. And so removing the proud flesh is great, and removing the ingrowing toenail is great. But to permanently cure it, if it has recurrence, you have to go and just put some medicine by the root of the nail one more time, and that cauterizes the root so it will not come back most times, and then he'll be cured.
Is this a surgical procedure?
No, it's an in-office procedure. It's just numb the toe and do the little ingrowing toenail procedure with one more step. That's all. Just one additional step to what he had done, he'll be cured.
Hey, Rick.
Matrixectomy?
Matrixectomy, yep. And just with chemicals, it works fine.
Thanks, Rick.
No surgery necessary.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
We got a couple of free phones now, 1-800-348-2551. Maybe we could get one or two more of you in. I don't know. But we have two more on the line. Let's go to Jim in Matamoros. Okay. Okay, Jim, you're on.
Well, the last caller much answered the question there. I was wondering what the current therapy for ingrown toenails was.
Jim, how old are you, by the way, may I ask?
71.
Okay. And do you have any diabetes or any other circulation?
Not that I know of.
Okay. So if you have good circulation and you're healthy, we get rid of ingrown toenails one visit and it's gone forever. We call everybody that takes care of their own ingrown toenails bathroom surgeons, which means once a month you go into the bathroom and you clip out the ingrown toenail and then it comes back. And the reason it comes back is because the way the nail grows. It's either curled on the side or it's deformed. And once you have it, there's something it follows the path of least resistance, which means it's going to follow the path that already made.
So an ingrown toenail grows back into your skin. Is that the
exactly.
idea?
Exactly. Yeah, it grows back into your skin. So what we do in our office, Jim, and what most podiatrists do is they will numb the toe, not where it hurts, but back by the base of the toe. Once it's numb, they'll take a sliver of nail, maybe a 16th, an eighth of an inch on that side, take out that piece, and then cauterize the root. There are different ways to do that. There's chemicals called phenol, sodium hydroxide, laser, whatever you want to do it with. But the important thing is to kill that root on that side. You'll still have a completely full nail, just it won't be growing into the skin anymore on that side. And that's the best and most effective treatment for ridding yourself of chronic ingrowing toenails. It's simple. One visit, you're done.
Thanks, Jim.
We've
got a Stephen in Pittsfield. Stephen, you're on.
Dr. Tumman, for 10 years I've had pain in my big toe on mm-hmm. my left foot. And my primary care said to the podiatrist. The podiatrist saw nothing, couldn't figure it out. I went to a neurologist. They said nothing. There was no problem neurologically. I went to a rheumatologist. They said it could be gout. this is just recently that I've seen the rheumatologist, so I've suffered with this for years. And they gave me the Colchris and the allopropanol, was something like that.
Yep.
Allopropanol. Anyway, they haven't had any effect. It's just worse. It's worse than ever. I have an appointment lined up in a few weeks with the rheumatologist.
Okay.
They said my uric acid was a little elevated. But I also read that untreated gout could lead to bone erosion. What are the chances of that? I guess you can't say, maybe, but what, is there a treatment if that's the case? Because it's really hurting more often and more deeply.
Okay,
Steve,
here we go.
Let
go
me
ahead.
Just ask you a question here. When you've had pain through these 10 years, has it been consistent chronic pain, or has it come once every 6 months with a red-hot swollen joint?
No, it comes once or twice a day.
Okay, you don't have gout. I would bet you don't have gout. Gout is you can't miss it. It gets red hot and swollen, and you can't even put a shoe on or move, and it wouldn't come twice a day. Gout comes, you know, once at the most, once every few months for people who have it a lot, and it goes away, and they're fine between visits. Sounds like you have some arthritis in your great toe joint and maybe a nerve irritation on top of that, although I don't understand why it wasn't seen on x-rays that you had, because that's pretty easy to see on the x-rays.
Well, the podiatrist said he saw an abnormal growth of bone, but he couldn't imagine that was causing me the pain.
Well, something's causing you the pain, Steve. It's unlikely to be gout. More than likely, it's related to some arthritis in the joint, around the joint. I wouldn't go down the gout road, you know, certainly unless you had somebody aspirate your joint and send it to the laboratory where they actually see uric acid crystals. You do not sound like a gout patient. It's not like somebody that has an arthritis or a bunion or a nerve irritation surrounding that joint, and it should be treatable. You know, you're a young guy.
Can you just briefly say?
Say again?
Treatable how? Can you say?
It depends upon what's found by somebody who can diagnose it, whether it's arthritis or a nerve irritation or...
Yes, or orthopedist, or who?
A podiatrist. Or a good orthopedist that specializes in feet, that's fine. But as a podiatrist, that's all we do. Certainly recommend a good one for you.
Would the rheumatology office have some know-how around that?
Well, they deal with joints, so they can sort of look at your x-ray and see if it's arthritic, and that's for sure.
Okay, so Stephen, I'm so sorry, but we're really out of time here. I thank you so much. And anybody else who's thinking about calling, don't. Thanks a lot. Okay, let's go to Linda in Hurley. Linda, you got to ask real quickly.
Okay, I'm developing bunions on my feet, but they're not on the big toe side. They're on the little toe side.
Mm-hmm.
And someone told me they were tailor bunions.
Yep.
And why would I be developing bunions there?
Good question, Linda, and I'll give you the very short answer. And it goes back to the old-time tailors that sat around with a sewing machine. They would push their foot on it, the old Jewish men, when they used to do this, and they would develop a bump on the outside of the foot. A tailor's bunion is like a bunion on the inside, but it's on the outside, and it becomes overgrown. But yours is not necessarily from sewing.
It's from
heredity.
I see.
Yeah, hereditary predisposition, where the foot starts to splay, and as we go through life, everything changes, like our teeth, our eyes, and our feet, too. So you're developing a tailor's bunion deformity where that metatarsal, the fifth metatarsal, is becoming more prominent and irritated in shoes. So if it's bothering you, we're right up the street. So we're happy to give it a...
Is there any type of orthotic that I could wear? Can you recommend wide women's shoes?
Of course. You always want to start with shoes and make sure they're wider and make sure they're comfortable, softer. And then we sometimes can use orthotics for that, and sometimes not. It depends upon the pain location. But we often have an accommodation on an orthotic, which will help a tailor bunion. And sometimes we'll put some medicine in there. But it is very treatable in many cases, most cases. Certainly that we can always fix them if necessary, but many times we can get you to live with it comfortably. But start with your shoes, and if not, come on in.
Thanks very much.
I was wondering whether she meant our volunteers spell it T-A-Y, but it's T-A-I, right? Taylor's.
Taylor, people spell it both ways.
Really?
That's actually a good way of spelling.
I didn't know that, you know, James had one of those or whatever. but thank you very much, Linda. Appreciate it. Okay,
thank you.
1-800-348-2551. Remember that for tomorrow. But for today, we're done. And a very big thank you to Doug Tooman for being with us. And I got to tell you, every time you hear the phones are ringing off the hook, We're just about out of time. I'm sorry I said no more calls because we could have handled another one, but it's okay. You know, it was my fault. As soon as I said that, everybody hung up who was on the air. I didn't say that. I didn't mean that. Underwriting support for the Medical Monday comes from Toprasin, developed to provide relief for those living in pain associated with neuropathy and fibromyalgia. Toprasin.com. And thanks to our engineer, Zach Malloy. Thanks to Colleen O'Connell for answering the phones today. She's terrific. Our producer is Jessica Blaustein Marshall. I'm Alan Chartok. Make sure you take WAMC with you. Download our new mobile app for streaming audio. I have, by the way, it's terrific. Headlines, podcasts, and more. Just go to iTunes or Google Play App Store, search WAMC, and install. If you think I'm stalling, you're right. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned now
Thanks,
for a news update. Great to talk to you, Doug.